I just take this as far as God will allow me. I had every confirmation this morning. The scripture that Philip read, I almost included it in the message this morning. David Aldridge made a post yesterday about an open door. And I saw it this morning when I said, God, just confirming your word. And so I hope this is a word of hope to someone in this house. I don't plan to keep you long. God's already moving. He's already here. And I just want to say again how much I love the Gibson family. Brian, Tanya, Maya, all of you. I don't want to make it spiritual unless it is, but God said, if you change your mind, and he said, you can wait to tell me until after Wednesday night and keep all the gifts. You can just keep everything. You don't have to, you can wait till Wednesday to tell me. I don't. Man, what a presence of God in the house. I'm thankful for those, not just the Gibsons, but all who help lead us in every week. There's no circumstance, no sorrow, no problem, Chuck, that God can't solve. But God can't turn the wheels and do something incredible, Bart Maddox. Amen? That reminded me. I didn't even know what happened. I remember I was preaching a camp meeting one night in North Carolina, and I was preaching on the God of power and the earthquake, and I found out after service that an earthquake happened while we were in service that night. I thought, God, I didn't have anything to do with it. You did, but you can do whatever you want to. Speak any way that you want to speak. I want to read this scripture to you today. If you need an open door, if you're struggling in this house, God's got an answer. Yes. God will take care of you. Yes. He'll give you an open door. I believe that with all of my heart. You're familiar with the scripture that said in Jonah 1, then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea. And the storm stopped at once. We sang about that storm this morning. Then the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Someone else's misfortune set God up with an opportunity to. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. But when you go into chapter 2, verse 1, listen to what Jonah did. Very simply, Jonah then prayed. Jonah cried to the Lord and to his God from inside the fish, and he said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me, and I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Listen, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. God, I pray for those today that need to look one more time. This is the day of one more look. That God, you would spare their lives, spare their situation, their home, their marriage, their children, their spouses, your church. And that God, you would bless your people. And that you would raise us up for another opportunity to share your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just turn to someone as you're seated and just give them an embrace. Just love them a little bit and tell them God's got you. God's got this. Just a few years ago, Ben Carson, one of the greatest neurosurgeon minds of our time, set his sights on the White House. He pivoted from the operating room in hopes of the Oval Office. when in 2013 he was the guest speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast. He pontificated on the dangers of political correctness, and he pushed forward the idea of a flat tax. He was bold enough to criticize even certain measures in the presence of the commander-in-chief. Within 5 months, Ben Carson had 30,000 followers, and he had raised $16 million as a neophyte politician. I want to say to someone in this house today who really needs an answer from God, when you really take a stand for something that is worthy, something that means something, you will be amazed at who will step out of the corner and come forward to support you. When you are courageous to fight for the right things, your circle will shift. The tide of momentum would change. And what began as an incredible adventure would run out of steam. And the impression of many was that just Ben Carson was too weak to speak out and to fight against terrorism. He was just too nice of a guy. And that because he was soft-spoken, somehow he was not a strong person. And it was that the funds began to dwindle. And when the funds began to dwindle, so did his friends. What Ben Carson said is no reflection of him having a neurosurgeon's degree or being the senior surgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital or even being a multimillionaire. He said what so many of us feel again and again. Ben Carson said, "I don't see any way forward." How many times in your life, no matter what you knew you had accomplished, you didn't feel like you could see your way forward? People in this very room who have made compounded mistakes. People who really spoke your right mind, you just did it at the wrong time. Anybody that witnessed firsthand and bore testimony that your friends lasted as long as your finances could control them or cover them. And what you are praying for right now is, God, if you would do anything, I don't need another dollar, I don't need another dime, but God, if you can do anything in my life right now, I need an open door. I need an opening in my life. You feel trapped. And right now I'm speaking to someone in this house today. You feel like this is it. You don't know your right. You don't know your left. You just feel trapped and the ship must be going down. I'm stuck in the solitary confinement of my own spirit, my own mind, my own finance, and my own habits. I'm just not sure I can find any way forward. God, lift every hand in this house right now, and would you declare out loud, Lord, I need an opening. Lift your hands and ask God, God, give my neighbor an opening. Give my son an opening. Give my daughter an open door. God, this morning, I'm not just asking another neighbor. I'm not calling on unfaithful friends that I can't count on. I'm not looking for an answer in governmental handouts and agencies. God, I'm calling on you, and I must have an open door. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. It may just be a crack, but God, if you'll give me an open door, I'll do what you've called me to do. Cannot live in this hole. I'm tired of this dark place. I need payback on an enemy that has fought me for far too long. I need a paycheck for my bank account. I need to make ends meet. I need an opening. And God, if you'll open the door and give me enough intellect and enough skill set and enough discipline, God, then I will follow your call for my life. It was Jesus himself that said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And if you will not, I will will open a door for you. It was Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 that said, after these things I looked, and behold, there was a door standing open in heaven. Do you need an open door in heaven today? I'm telling you, there's nothing on this earth that can keep that door closed once God says, here it is. 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, for a wide door for effective service, Brandon Myers, has been opened to me. And he said, but there are many adversaries. But Miss Sarah, I like Isaiah 22 and 22 that said, I will place the key of the house of David on the shoulder of the Messiah, and what he opens, no man can shut, and what he closes. Hey, Jim Langley, God is a God of promise. God is a God who honors his word. And if his word says the door's been opened to you, Jim, the door has been opened to you. Amen. Somebody needs an opening this morning, Shane. I'm speaking to somebody. Something is getting ready to open for you. The heavens are about to open. It's bigger than you could ever imagine. It's stronger than you could ever dream. It's trustworthy beyond comprehension. Something that other folks don't want you to have. Am I talking to anyone in this room that everyone else on earth has tried to shut the door? But God said, what I have opened, I have opened, and I am faithful, and I will fulfill it in your life. Yeah. They didn't want you to have it. They don't want God to give it to you. You didn't even apply for it. God just said, here it is. You remind them that I am the God of an open door. Would you turn to someone on your left or right and just tell them, God still opens doors. Can I ask anyone in this house, Do you know that God gave you a promise? If you know that, I want to see the hands. God gave me a promise. It was 1985. It was 2001. God gave me a promise. And the word of God to you this morning is simply this, Jeremy Ashley, stop running from your promise. Your word this morning, Brian, is stop running from your promise. By the time we get to the book of Jonah in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, we understand that Jonah, Miss Dodd, is not running for the presidency. It isn't on the table, but his placement in the kingdom is at stake. His placement is at risk. It may be the kingdom, it may be in history, it may be for the sake of God's fulfillment on earth. You may make heaven, but the question for some in this room this morning is, did you accomplish God's will, and did you bring about his promise on this earth with your life? Am I talking to anybody that God called you to do something and it didn't sit right at first? It didn't make a lot of earthly sense, Faith. God said to forgive somebody that's not even sorry. To love somebody that's awfully hard to love. You've got to be nice to somebody that's cranky and mean all the time. Keep your eyes this way. Keep your eyes right here. Some of you started to drift. God, are you sure that I'm the one you called to do that? I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm not equipped. And I'm not so sure that Jonah ran because he was so afraid as much as he hated the Ninevites. And that's what we don't realize many times. When you go to the Word, when you go to history, you understand that the Ninevites were a ruthless people. I mean, they were skilled warriors. Jonah knew their reputation well. And it wasn't that Jonah was so much trying to disobey God. He didn't want Nineveh to be saved. They were known as soldiers to put the enemy on the ground and to bind their hands and bind their feet and tie them to the ground. And then inch by inch, they would lift the skin from their body and they would fillet them alive. Jonah understood the depravity, and it wasn't so much that Jonah was trying to obey or disobey God. He didn't want the Ninevites to be spared. And I think sometimes, even in the church world, even today, we've been hurt so deeply, and we've been disappointed in people, and we've been let down so horribly, and we've been done so terribly wrong that we say, God, they're getting what they deserve. God, they're getting what they ought to get. God, do you know how badly they hurt me? Let them suffer. And God said, I sent my only begotten son, not for those who needed religion, but for those who need a healer and a savior. Those who need. God's calling some people in this body to do some things that will not get your name in the paper. It won't net you incredible wealth. And he may be calling you to do something that other people will not even appreciate, to do something where people don't understand your sacrifice, and to go somewhere, quite frankly, where you are not comfortable. God said, I would that I could just get you to do something for this house, for this community, for this town, for this people, for your family. I'm not even calling you to Africa. I'm not even calling you to Russia. Just do something that will benefit my kingdom here. If he just called me once, I could have pretended I didn't hear him. If he had just called me once, I could say, God, I was busy. If he just reminded me through Pastor Sargent and through Pastor Taylor, Pastor Victor, and Pastor Toby, then I can slide by, but I can just pretend like I didn't hear what he had to say or the call that he had placed on my life. But somehow all I can keep hearing is Nineveh. I'm trying to sleep, God, but I hear Nineveh. God, don't you know I'm driving down the road, but I keep hearing Nineveh, and God moving, and God is speaking. And Jonah, like many of us, he gets this call he doesn't want to fill an occupation that he does not desire, to go to people who really don't appreciate him. And some of us want to be anybody but Jonah and go anywhere but Nineveh. Have you ever been there? And so Jonah runs, and he doesn't say anything while he's running. I want to tell you something that impresses me about our body here. When you walk into Vacation Bible School and you have 100 plus children, but you have 60 plus workers, that's impressive. That's 60 people that said, I will sacrifice 4 nights this year, and I will pour into our children, your children. They're willing to do something. Jonah just runs, and he is running in silence. Watch this. He is on a boat with other people. Some people don't have any problem talking on somebody else's ship. But Jonah is quiet. And this morning it's important that we never confuse activity with achievement. That we never confuse just being busy on the boat as with achieving something for the kingdom of God. A lot of people live a treadmill spirituality. They are running fast, but they're not going anywhere. And so Jonah pays the price for a ticket on someone else's boat, but doesn't say anything about his condition when he gets on board. And people don't want to deal with their condition. They don't want to deal with their, pardon me, sorry attitude. Sometimes people don't know how to be quiet when they are wrong. But Jonah, he doesn't want to talk about his condition, whatever it may be. He's just running from the promise of God. Are you getting what God's saying to us this morning? And by the way, there's nothing worse than being loud and being wrong. And you just keep getting louder and louder and louder, and I don't think wronger is a word, but wronger, wronger, and wronger. The process. And then Jonah's quiet, and a storm breaks out, and something amazing begins to happen. Everybody on that ship starts to get loud and starts to cry out to their God. Everyone on board that ship is crying out to a God that does not exist except for Noah, and he's not crying out to the God who does. Sometimes if you keep quiet in your storm, it makes God feel like that you don't have a storm. And if you keep quiet during your storm, it may make God feel like that you don't really have him as your God. He is holy, and he is to be honored in the good times and honored in the storm, and to be praised in the good times and praised in the bad times. And God, whatever condition I'm in, I will be content, and I will praise you through it all. Amen. When everyone else has the nerve to call on a God that doesn't, are we not right here today? Is this not where we are in our society? We've got a multiplicity of people and traditions and folks. They're calling out and they're standing up for gods that don't, and purposes and things that don't even exist, that don't matter. And we're trying to get the church to cry out for the one God who really is God. I need some people who know in 2023 that this isn't the time to be shy about who God really is. You sang his praises this morning. Now will you lift your hands throughout this auditorium, and will you shout out his praises? Will you proclaim that he is God, on key, out of key, with a chord, without a chord? God, whatever it is today, I will praise you in the storm, and I will praise you so that the world knows. It's not time to be cute or coy or shy. I'm in the storm of my life, and I can't afford for the source of my salvation to pass me by and me not take the opportunity to declare who he is. Amen. If you know how to call on God, I believe that he's passing by this very moment. Lift your hand, lift your hand, lift your hand. If you're not going through anything, don't say anything. But if you know what it is to go through a storm, and you know that only God can get you out of this storm, this is the season for you to start declaring who he is. God, I will praise you. I will bless you. Come on, if you're going through it right now, God, open the door. God, open the door. I know I've said it before. I know I've prayed it in my closet. But right now, God, I am publicly crying out, God, open the door. The question is, how can the church keep being silent when in the last 20 years in the state of California alone, they have built 22 state prisons and one junior college? How can the church be silent when 1.9 billion Muslims occupy the earth, and there are 50 major nations that are primarily under the influence of Muslim doctrine? How can the church be silent when human traffickers are trafficking almost 25 million young people a year that don't know the sound of freedom, don't know what it is? to make their own choices and to make up their own mind. How can the church be silent when I just read yesterday that because a Methodist church in California will not support homosexuality in the pulpit, that the Methodist church wants 50 cents on every appraised dollar of $6 million. They want $3 million to let that church of 50 or 60 stay there and worship the God of the Bible. The homosexual Methodist woman pastor in California that dares compare changing times and being sensitive to the times like it was in the days of slavery, just to justify what she says that she is. How can we still be silent? I'm going to say something right here. I have been praying for God to heal the dumb. I pray regularly, every week, multiple times. God, touch those that cannot speak. Physically gift them and allow them to speak. Work the miracle. Let it be renowned. Let it be public. But I'm praying for God, for those who are not sharing their testimony, those who are not speaking Jesus one time throughout the work week, for those who are not sharing the hope of glory. I am praying for God to loose their tongue, to loose their spirit, to loose their mind, and raise up an army in our community in Jasper, in Birmingham, wherever it may be, that will shout Jesus from the mountaintop, and shout Jesus from the valley, and shout Jesus in every circumstance that he might be glorified and raised up for a lost and dying world. I'm praying for those who are wasting their time saying the wrong thing, Tanya. Wasting their time talking about issues that aren't even important in the church and in the ministries that curse and damn and make unworthy the very thing that we're supposed to represent. How can we keep being silent? Everybody's crying out to God but Jonah. And it becomes obvious to the captain that somebody is not involved in their corporate worship. What makes you think you have a voice with God or with anything in the church when you're not in church half the time? What makes you think you have a voice when you stand, well, every one of these folks up here give everything they've got to lead you in. We stand, we just fold our arms, and there's no emotion, and there's no anointing, and there's no power on. You're just as important out there when it comes to worship as they are up here. You're just as important out there as I am up here. We have been called as the body of Christ, the church of the living God, and we've got to make him. What makes you think you have a voice when you worship a song or a singer but won't worship God out loud? Jonah, what's wrong with you? We are in this storm and you're the only one being quiet. This is the season when we need to start checking quiet church folk. That we need to be heard. That God needs to know who you are. And that you not only need to be talking, but you need to be talking about the right things and saying the right things. And God's called me to Nineveh. God's called me to accomplish great and mighty ministry for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ. And what God has called me to do, I'll help you do it. If you'll help me do it, we will accomplish. How can we be silent? You don't have to march in the street. You don't have to carry banners. But this is the time when the church must be heard. And I know you've heard it all your life, and I know you're probably bored with it. I know you're probably tired of hearing it, but I believe with all of my heart, we inch closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is a reality. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something we're making up Sunday after Sunday. He will return in all of his glory and in all of his power. And if we ever need to see the lost saved, we need to see them saved now. How do you serve the same God that I do when you won't say his name out loud? You're talking about this, and they need to be hearing. You talk about this, you talk about that, and they need to hear the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood will never, ever, ever lose its power. When they need to hear, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. When they need to hear, there is a river. When they need to hear, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And you're going to fold your arms and be quiet? When Sunday lunch is more important than the Sunday sermon. It's the way of the Pharisee. How are you not praising God, Jonah? I'm so glad. I'm so glad Jonah didn't say, you know, I'll just worship him in my own way. I'm glad that Jonah didn't say, God knows my heart. No, in the storm, we either float together or we sink together. In the storm, we either trust the God who created heaven and earth or we sink together. We either lift our voice together or we become a reproach on the God that we say that we serve. How can we be silent when your schedule is more important than God's schedule? Captain wants to know who is responsible. Can I tell you this morning, can I be obedient, Jamie Pounders, and just say that people who identify everything but the hope that we have in Jesus, they are responsible for the storm. And if you really want out of this storm, it's time to stop being silent. It's time to stop standing back. It's time to do something for the kingdom. It's time to praise your God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Let all those that seek thee, all rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation, let say continually, let God be magnified. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I'll close with this morning. What happens when it feels like you're going under, you've been thrown overboard, and God is working in aquatic synchronicity to bring up an incredible fish? And the funny thing is, the fish had its mouth open when Jonah did not. And in his own way, the fish begins to glorify God in his obedience. I don't think it was happenstance that fish just happened to be right there at the right time when Jonah was thrown overboard. I think God did it. And we think it's a children's story, and we think it's simplistic, and we think of all the graphics that go with it and the Sunday school books and the equip books that go with a children's story. But I'm telling you today, every moment of God is a moment from God and of God, and it's for God and it's for you. And God can take what seems simple and it seems like it doesn't mean anything at all, and he can put every detail together and he can give you the open door that you need. Stand with me all over this house. His life flashes before him. And Jonah cries out. The thing is, he doesn't remember his call. Some of you are just glad to be saved, but God called you. And he doesn't remember his call until he is trapped. And he remembers his assignment when it is that he is about to be consumed and digested. God, I'm about to die, but I will call out to you. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you're at a point or place this morning where you're at a place, Pastor, I feel like I'm about to die. I don't feel like I can carry this weight anymore, any longer. If God doesn't help me, I'm not going to make it. But the word says in Jonah 2, verses 1 and 2, as we turn the page, that Jonah cried out. And I believe that as he cried out to God, the word tells us that God heard him. And God ordered his steps. And he gave him an open door. I want to speak to people right now that today you need an open door. Some of you have already raised your hand today. And you don't have to. But if you need an open door today, you would like to have an open door before you walk back out through those doors. Pastor, only God knows, but I've got, will you come meet me in this altar right now? I need an open door today. Will you come? Will you come? Some of you have already been in this altar this morning. You've already sought God. You've had people love you. But you raised your hand today. I need an open door now. Every woman in this house that ever prayed a man out, pray now. Every man that ever prayed a son out of bondage, pray right now. Can I get you to come lay a hand on those that are here? You're in right relationship with God. You know that things are right between you. Will you come lay a hand on those that are here this morning? Some have come back for a double portion. They need God to move. They need God to... My career, my job, I need an open door, Pastor. Jonah said, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. Verse 9, when I felt like I was drowning, I offered shouts of grateful praise to you. Let those pray here. Those of you that are out there, hear this verse. Verse 10. The Lord commanded the fish. Listen to what the word says. And the Lord provided. The translation says, the Lord provided an opening. The Lord provided an opening. The Lord provided an opening. Hear what the word says. The Lord commanded the cancer. The Lord commanded divorce. The Lord commanded my poverty. The Lord commanded my situation. And God provided an open door. Lift your hands, God, in Jesus' name. God, today, in the name of Jesus. I've tried to be obedient in this thought. I've tried to be obedient in what I heard you speak into my heart 2 weeks ago for this today.